meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Dr. Drew. Loveline. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Yep, you're fired once again, Anderson. It's Loveline, and don't throw tomatoes. It's me, Stryker, filling in for Adam Carolla along with Dr. Drew. I'm very upset with you, Doctor.
Because?
Because I was not invited to Larry and Grant's going away party.
Wow. How do you even know about that? You're now invited if you are a friend.
I follow you.
Yes.
I hear things.
Indeed you do.
I may be on some horrible machine at the gym, and your name has popped up, and so I listen even closer.
Oh, my God.
And then I hear about Larry's going away party.
This is my daughter's ice skating coach.
Oh, I know. I was invited.
Great. See?
I've had enough of this crap.
You see?
I'm out of here. Garofalo.
Only important people.
You invite Jeannie Garofalo. She's important.
And I don't even go to the gym. See, that's... There's no need to go to the gym to get invited.
Well, I wasn't actually... I was outside the gym. I could hear through the glass.
What right. gym?
No, it's
what
called...
What city?
It's in Culver City. This guy named Steve Zim works there.
Oh, God.
It's weird.
It is weird.
That is weird. So, anyway, now that I'm not mad at you anymore and we're still lovers and you're an addiction medicine specialist, I segue...
If you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome.
All right.
I assure you.
Are there free drinks?
I imagine.
Pastries?
I imagine.
I'm there.
I'm not organizing this thing, but...
I like pastries and drinks. You
nice.
Just show up,
It'd
shut up,
nice
and pay
people.
Up.
A lot of little 8 to 14-year-old ice skaters.
Really? Wow.
Oh my, now you're not.
No, I don't mean it like that. There's going to be a lot of talented kids in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Yamaguchi in the future.
Oh, my.
I don't know. Lisa Yamaguchi? What was that lady's name?
I don't know.
You watch the Olympics.
Christy Yamaguchi.
Christy Yamaguchi.
Knows all, sees all.
I know every single thing. Go ahead, ask. I'm like John Doe on the new false TV schedule.
What's on, okay, anyway, that's Jeannie Garofalo, everybody. I'm very excited that you're here, by the way.
Oh my gosh. There's the applause that I seek and need. Thank you. Thanks
you don't need
for
to seek
me.
It, and you may not need it because you always get it. The applause.
No. I seek it.
You do.
And
yes,
she needs it.
But this is not that. Thank you. But we're not here to talk about my needs and problems. We're here to help the kids.
It's
time to help the kids.
It is time to help the kids. 1-800-LOVE-191. That is the phone number. We're going to talk about Jeannie and the dates you have coming up. You're doing a lot of stand up these days.
Yes, the stand up dates we're talking about.
Right.
Stand up dates.
Not dates proper.
Stand up dates. Yeah.
Stand up dates. You started off as a stand-up while you were in college, of course.
I started in 1985 doing stand-up comedy when I was a junior at Providence College.
Now,
that's probably before you kids were born out there, most of you callers.
No, there's someone right there that's 29 and a half.
Oh, my.
I don't know what that means right there. But I could be wrong, but it seems like within the last few years you haven't done a ton of the stand-up work. Had you been doing it? And if not, are you getting back into the stand-up?
I've been on tour for almost 2 years.
That's what
stand-up.
I thought. Yeah.
So actually, the opposite of what you just said is
right.
true.
Well, how come I haven't seen you doing?
Well, this how would you know?
Well, I go
if
to
I'm,
your
if I'm touring,
website.
If I'm touring around the country, I don't know that I haven't been keeping you apprised of my dates. I'm sorry. I'll
You've
start
not been
to do
so
that.
Much in Los Angeles.
No. It's the tour I've been doing. I took the summer off, but it starts up again this year, and it'll be basically like a 2-year tour, and it's been. All over the country, and also in I've been to England and Ireland and Scotland.
Wow, cool.
So
it takes you good
I'm
places.
Surprised you didn't know about the Glasgow dates. That surprises me,
Where's
Stryker.
Oh,
here's Perth.
Oh, there it is, Glasgow. Glasgow. See Jeannie. That's right. I was supposed to see you. All right, you ready to tackle, so to speak, some
I
of these
I am
calls?
Indeed.
All right,
I've
indeed.
Had my coffee.
Good. James.
Yeah.
You're 27. What's up?
I'm curious to know if... My girlfriend's real uncomfortable with the idea of anal sex, and I'm trying to coax her into experimenting more with it, but she doesn't seem, you know, she thinks it's uncomfortable. And
no.
How dare she? How dare she think of it? That rammed up her ass would be uncomfortable.
Dr. Drew, you've changed.
I am shocked. I'm
10 years ago, you would have never used the word
rammed.
An object.
James, come on. What are you talking about?
Well, no, I mean, I'm trying to see if there's ways that I can make it more appealing to her, make it more comfortable so it's not, you know. She's, like, really put off by the idea.
Well, why does it turn you on? What's so great about it, and have you done it before?
We had tried it once, but she didn't like it.
Uncomfortable. Have you done it with other girls?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You know what, actually, James, I actually read an article about this, about how you can ease your lover into it, and it actually they talked about a couple glasses of wine, obviously,
and the date rape truck.
There's the dog. Is that your dog?
Yeah.
Okay. He's interested. So it involved like a couple of glasses of wine and working up to it over a series of evenings. Mm. First starting with manual, manual, and then moving on to digital, manual, right. Digital, then analog,
right.
Then using the TiVo.
Oh, God. What about a big vat of Astroglide?
You know, our friend from this show, what was her name? Anne, help me out here, please.
Her name?
She wrote a book about this.
About anal.
Yes. And about how to help guys. Anybody listen
Anka
to the
Radakovich?
No, it wasn't Anka. It was
Tristan Taramino.
Mm-hmm.
And you could check.
You've read the book?
No, I just have heard that name.
You could look her up on the web, and she has lots of ideas about this. And my experience has been, not personal experience, but through talking to people about this, is that when it is uncomfortable for someone, it usually remains uncomfortable. And she's just kind of not into it. Some people, it's fine, whatever. But I don't like the idea of you coercing someone for whom it is uncomfortable and probably painful.
Right.
For reasons that are sort of spurious.
You could probably try it with a foreign object at first and then work on
I don't think he's coercing her. I think he's genuinely and in earnest asking, how can I make it more appealing for her? I bet you if you guys just really get comfortable with it and work on it like over a series of sessions, I would think, don't you, if you like worked slowly up to it and then, you know... As we talked about analog style.
James, coercing is going to be tough if she's not super into it now is the bottom line. Yeah. So, but if you do succeed, please call back.
Yeah.
For sure.
I won't be here that night, but Drew will give me the info.
Great.
All right, James.
Good luck.
I just like the idea of people making... We have lots of a-hole guys forcing women to do stuff they don't want to do. It's a lot
But he didn't sound like that. He sounded like, what is a way I could make it more appealing?
I agree with you, he did, but I still hear in the background those guys.
Drew, do you have a lot of interest in the anal area?
No.
I actually don't either. I do not
zero.
Try to get to
that region. It's a means of egress, not access.
Yes.
And things need to move out of there.
That's correct. In big chunks.
Right.
Caitlin?
Yeah.
What's up? You're 16, baby.
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Okay, I'm a 16, and I'm having an affair with a 27-year-old, and he's married, and he has a kid.
Oh, my God.
And...
That's fake. You're fake. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just kidding.
Before we started, we were talking about the whole fake.
Please ignore Stryker. He's...
Yes. They always do anything.
Just pretend Stryker's not here. Please continue.
Sorry, Caitlin. Go ahead.
And the bad thing about it is he's my stepdad's sister's husband.
Oh.
Okay, your stepdad's sister's husband.
He's like my step-uncle, kind of.
Does he live in your neighborhood?
He's like 4 blocks away.
Okay, well, here's the reality.
Thanks.
He's an idiot, and he's a criminal, okay? I don't know, what's the age of consent in Florida?
18 or 21.
Florida?
I think he's 18.
I think it's 12.
How did this even get started? How did you even get involved with your 27-year-old step-uncle?
Well, we were just talking one day in his computer room.
16.
And Spike left. And it just kind of led in, one thing led to another, you know, sort of making out and everything. And then just, I don't know.
The computer room normally always works to get a girl.
Don't you feel that it's sort of inappropriate?
Awkward, yeah.
So why are you continuing?
Because he tells me he loves me and I think I might be pregnant.
Oh,
this just keeps getting worse and worse.
All right.
Drew, why did you look up the age of consent so she could turn him in?
Whether he's a criminal or not.
Yeah.
But that's still criminalistic.
It's right. It's
It's bad judgment.
He doesn't love you, unfortunately, Caitlin. No kidding.
Why do you think you might be pregnant? Have you seen a gynecologist? Have you done the home test or anything like that?
I'm late.
How? How late? How many days?
Like 2 months.
2 months?
Oh, my.
And not using protection, right?
Right.
I mean, what is with this jackhole that his sister? Wait a minute.
Stepdad's sister's husband.
His wife's brother is the stepfather of this child.
Mm-hmm.
And he's screwing around with her, not using contraceptives. I mean, he's got a kid. He's got a wife. I mean, it's just, this guy is a criminal. I don't care whether officially he broke the law or not. He doesn't love you, Caitlin. He doesn't love anybody. No one that behaves like this has the capacity for that. And I'm sorry you're being victimized like this. Were you sexually abused growing up or something?
Yeah.
How old were you when you were first sexually abused?
I was Seven.
And who was it that did that to you?
A family friend.
All right. I don't know how these jerks know that you're a good victim, how they sense that in you, but that event is what sets you up to be such a good victim now, and this guy's taking full advantage of that. How you get out of this, first of all, deal with the pregnancy. Find out if you're pregnant. Get some counseling on that, some family, maybe Planned Parenthood. Want to take down Planned Parenthood's phone number?
Yeah.
Caitlin, you're going to have to take care of yourself.
You have to deal with this.
You got to take care of yourself, because this guy isn't going to do it, I assure you.
I don't even want to tell him.
When's the last time you've made out with him?
Made out.
That I made out with
had
him?
Sex.
Had sex.
Okay. It was like probably 2 months ago.
What's been going on since?
We were just like been making out.
All right. Here's the Planned Parenthood phone number. 1-800-230 PLAN.
Now, what are they going to do when she calls them? She's going to go down there for a free test or something?
Discuss the options and give her some support.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. And then you've got to get out of this thing. And hopefully, when they pick you up Planned Parenthood, they can get you into some referrals, community resources for mental health. Because you're going to need support and help with this. This is a mess.
Now, I just hope you're not. I hope you're
Where's your mom?
She's not around.
Well, is she a drug addict?
Yeah.
She's a drug addict.
And an alkene. So my dad,
These patterns are just, that's the way the patterns go. Gene's like, how'd you know?
How would you know something like that?
He's a doctor.
I just guessed.
Oh.
No, I didn't. This is just all the information I have right there. And this is the pattern of what poor Caitlin is stuck in. Caitlin, Al-Anon, that's another resource for you. You've got parents that are drug addicts. That can help you. Start with Planned Parenthood and then get some referrals for mental health services, okay?
I'm 16. I can't raise a baby by myself.
Of course not.
That's a very honest and reasonable assessment of what's going on here. But there's always adoption, and then there are other options for you as well.
I don't believe in abortions.
So. Well, how about adoption?
I don't know. I don't think I could give my baby
but
I had it.
I understand how painful that would be, but you've said it yourself. You're 16. You can't raise a child. How about making a decision on behalf of that child, giving it life, and letting it have a parent, too, that's ready for it?
Can I ask a question? I don't know if this is an inappropriate question, but... Why don't you believe, I know this is a bizarre thing, but why don't you believe in abortion?
I've never believed in it. I mean, I've had friends that have had abortions, and I just believe it's killing your baby, because even though it's not, like, fully developed, it is still developed enough for them to kill it, you know? I don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you realize how tough your life and how worse your life is going to be and this baby's life. Now, I'm not saying having an abortion. I'm saying adoption.
Adoption.
Yeah. No, I know.
All right,
I'm just saying.
Just Planned Parenthood. Start there.
Call there, and if you keep sitting on it and don't do anything, it's going to get worse by the day.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole.
Oh, hey.
What's up? You're 16.
Not much. How are you guys?
Good.
Fantastic. Janine Garofalo is here, by the way.
Hey.
She's been on tour for... That's not important.
She's been on tour for 2.5 years, and I knew it.
But we're not here to talk about that. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question about my boyfriend. We've only been dating for about 2 months, and I'm moving out of the state. I got a scholarship to NYU.
At 16?
Yeah.
Hey, Janine lives near NYU.
I live very near NYU.
Why don't you guys be roommates?
We can be friends. We can get coffee. You must be a smarty pants. You're going to NYU at the age of 16?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Kudos to you.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A filmmaker.
What director, writer?
I want to be a cinematographer.
Wow.
Interesting.
At 16, I couldn't even spell cinematographer, and you want to be one. Good for you, Nicole.
Thank you.
What's her problem?
My boyfriend, I really like him, and I don't want anything to mess up our relationship, even though I'm moving so far away. And I told him this, and he suggested that we get married as soon as he turns 18.
Oh, my God. No! No!
Documentary!
No!
Come on, documentary!
Unless that is utterly absurd.
I understand. I know that's absurd. That's what I said. And the thing is, it's like I'm not ready to get married anytime soon whatsoever, but I don't want, to end our relationship.
Why?
And he's a little ticked off about it.
But you've only been going out two months. You're getting a scholarship.
You're only 16 years old. You've only been going out for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Anybody who suggests you guys getting married when they're 18, he's just speaking out of fear and insecurity, and he's trying to control
There really
you.
Is only one type of human that could come up with that, and that's a 17-year-old male.
Right.
And And really, I mean, men get weird. We're desperate, and we freak out, and we want to cling. And
he's not even past Algebra 2 yet.
You know what? By the time you're a sophomore in college, you're going to look back on this night that you called her and went, oh, my God, I can't believe I called about that.
He's going to be stuck in Sacramento, Nicole, playing with cows, and you're going to be married to Steven Spielberg
but
Part 2.
Marriage is not a part of it at all.
Yeah, all right, sorry.
He could be the greatest guy in the world and be the guy she left behind and regrets. They still shouldn't get married.
No one marries their 16-year-old boyfriend.
You've got to start. You've got an exciting life ahead of you. And New York City is the most amazing city. You're going to meet so many people and have so many experiences. And you need to get your education. You need to fulfill any personal dreams and goals that you have. And marriage will put the kibosh on that so quickly.
Oh, I know. And that's what I said. And I I'm not anywhere near.
So how can we help? All right, you've handled it all yourself. How can we help?
But
you've done the right things.
Well, he's really upset about it. And I don't want
to end the relationship. Big deal. 8 weeks.
So he's gonna have to understand it. You're gonna have to communicate with him and have some talks about it. But this is 8 week relationship, and if he's upset about something like that, that seems a little bit odd and possessive.
Well, okay.
Right. How upset?
I'm sure he'll find a nice 14-year-old freshman next year while you're hanging out.
That he can manipulate.
NYU.
Yeah, exactly. A younger person that he can manipulate.
But what is it we're talking about here, Nicole? He's not talking about hurting himself or other people, anything like that. Right?
Well, no, he's just really he just gets really, really, really upset. To the point where he will not talk to anybody else.
Besides you?
Yeah.
Who he won't stop talking to?
What about, does he still play his Dungeons & Dragons, though?
Oh, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that this just seems like that we've been cut off.
I just put her on. We? No, I did the cutting.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Did she hang up on me?
No, but you can still
Next
talk.
Caller.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Get the call it killing me out there, the smoking, the weed. She's going to be fine, basically.
I think she'll be okay. New York is going to make her forget about this whole thing.
Definitely. Do you live in New York right now?
I do. I lived in New York since 94, and it's the most exciting and the most fun place to live. And I think once she gets to NYU, her whole life, there's just so many wonderful things that are going to happen to her that this will seem like a ridiculous memory.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Providence College in Rhode Island.
Good school.
It was okay.
Was it fun?
No,
what was
not at the time. I was there history. I was there 82 to 86, and it was under in the throes of conservative Reagan youth.
Wow.
It was not a creative or interesting time to be at Providence.
So how'd you get into stand up going to a school like that? I'm sure your personality was excellent, but
I was actually an absolute recluse,
right?
Recluse, if that's the word, in college. But I just was a fan of stand up comedy since being a kid, and I would drive into Boston and watch it, and then I started doing it. But we're not here to talk about that.
No,
we're here to help the kids.
I'm curious.
You were not an absolute recluse. You tended
towards
reclusive.
First of all, I'm 5'1", and I probably weighed 160 pounds, which is fine for me, but other people seem to reject you. Other people have a problem with that.
You're fat.
We've often said on this show that is a form of discrimination that trumps everything right now, and people do not make enough.
What's that?
I wasn't paying attention. How your appearance?
Oh, your appearance. Yeah.
I was absolutely discriminated. I was a victim of lookism, like you couldn't possibly imagine. And because of being an overweight woman, especially, I was very alienated from the rest of them. I had maybe four very close friends who are still my friends now. But other than that, I was. I'm sure nobody would have remembered that I went to Providence College.
Where'd you grow up?
New Jersey. Madison, New Jersey, but
never
I lived in Texas a couple of times. But I was
Who
fairly
didn't?
Reclusive, but it was foisted upon me. I spent a lot of time by myself.
No, you had these four friends there. Did you guys go out to bars? Did you just sit at home?
I actually became very involved in music, indie rock at that time. In the 80s, as you may remember, in Boston, Rhode Island, was a great time for music. There's, the Pixies and the Neighborhoods and the Liars and there's your applause.
When the Devil Is Six and the Devil Is Six.
Exactly. So there was lots of bands to be seen at that time.
Right. Have you been to any Weezer shows lately?
Not lately, no.
Well, you should check them out again.
Okay.
I've seen you a long time ago at a Weezer show.
I know. I love Weezer.
Yeah, they're a good band. They were just in here the other night, actually.
I love Weezer, but we're not here to talk about Weezer. We're here to help the kids.
Like Trevor, who's 16. What's up, Trevor?
Hey.
Hey.
I just want to say that Adam and Drew, I know Adam's not there right now, but you guys are the perfect team. You guys counterbalance each other excellently.
Whatever. Okay,
whatever.
I'm going to have to put you on hold.
That whatever thing was not from us. That was a pre-taped whatever. They're going to think I said that in a bitter way.
Give her some applause. What's up, Trevor?
Oh, okay. Well, I used to smoke pot a lot about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't smoked in about a year, but recently, I mean, it just hasn't popped up. But it's just the craving to go back and smoke some more pot.
Right. I've never seen anybody successfully, a true marijuana addict, successfully stay off pot without treatment.
How long? You smoked it for a year straight?
No, I mean, I've been off it for a year, but before that I was, you know, probably about 3 years straight.
Every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, marijuana addicts all every day, every day, every day.
When you say treatment, what do you mean by that?
I mean a 12-step program.
A 12-step program?
Yeah, Marijuana Anonymous. You need to go.
Yeah, first buy a new bong, then get the water.
Bad striker.
And how was that first 6 months of being off the pot?
Depressing. It wasn't depression. It was just kind of like a new thought process, really, because I was so used to getting stoned and thinking that way. I mean, when you're a pothead and you're stoned all the time,
mm-hmm.
you think that way. And then you got to learn how to think a different way. I mean, that's fine. It's just...
Well, it's not just actually learning. Your brain is changing, both when it's going down the pot path and when it's coming back. The brain chemistry changes rather dramatically, in fact. So, you're clear. You're okay. Are you drinking heavily?
No, not at all.
Are you using any other drugs?
No.
Boy, just count your blessings.
I guess I heard you say one time under the radio to this girl, I take energy pills and it has ephedra in it.
Well, there you go. So that's what you're using.
So that's not good, huh?
No, and that may be what's triggering your cravings, too. As you start activating that reward apparatus in the brain, it starts...
I mean, I started taking it for a good reason. I mean, I started wrestling, so I was taking it to burn it, but,
Trevor, you're an addict, and unfortunately, anything you do that activates the dopamine release in the reward system will begin to trigger that drive to use. And that's it. It's a game on. That's it. You have this disorder, and there is no good reason, unfortunately. You have to avoid it absolutely.
Plus, ephedra is bad for your heart.
Yeah. The ephedrine?
Ephedra, whatever it is.
And now, is that bad for your heart if you have a heart condition to start with, or it's just bad for your heart in general?
It increases your blood pressure, changes the workforce, and it can decrease the way blood is supplied to the heart.
Because I've tried those things before, actually, and it does get you excited, it does get you going a little bit, but is there a long-term effect,
yes.
or do they know yet?
What is
the long-term problem of
strokes
doing that?
And heart disease.
Because of what you're doing to your heart right now, making it work so hard?
Just from the standpoint of increasing the shear force on blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-physiologic cardiovascular performance, and it's... You know.
So if I do it sometimes, I should probably stop, you're saying?
If you...
Turn off the pager, Drew! God damn it!
Unacceptable. Right,
thank you.
Unacceptable.
So if he wants to start doing the weed again, how does it... He needs to get help so he doesn't do it again, is the bottom line.
I can't say it that categorically.
Right.
He's got to stop the ephedra. He's got to not use any more drugs. The probability is he's going to find himself using something again magically. And insofar that does happen, he needs to identify it and get help at that point.
All right. Well, on that note, we need to take a break here on Love Line. What's your name again?
Janine Garofalo.
That's right. You are here, as am I, as is Drew, and more of you guys coming up on Love Line. We're back here on Loveline. I'm Stryker, along with Dr. Drew, who's the addiction medicine specialist, and he also knows a lot about other things, too. You like the Hives, Janine Garofalo?
I love the Hives.
But I know you've liked them for years, not just...
Actually, no, I probably jumped on the bandwagon with everybody else, maybe slightly earlier, because I have friends in the business.
Right. You were on Conan recently, but I did not see it. But a friend of mine was telling me you were hilarious
talking about the MTV Video Music Awards. Somebody claimed when he was at the gym that I was on Conan. Totally erroneous story.
Erroneous. Actually, I was at the library, and they're like, this Garofalo was hilarious on Conan recently.
Oh, you read.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Well, I only pictured books, but still. what are some of the bands that you're into? Because that night the Hives actually played, and then the Vines played, and I was kind of pissed that there was no other rock represented.
I love the Hives. I like Amy Mann. I like the Gravel Pit out of Boston. I like I have so many. I like Liz Phair.
Yeah.
I like
what about the Strokes?
Badly Drawn Boy. I like
there.
The Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Reindeer Section.
Huh.
I like all kinds of stuff.
Very nice. You talk to your friend Ben Stiller a lot? Because you worked with him since the early 90s on his show. And
I wouldn't say a lot, although I will be seeing him this Saturday. I'll see him day after tomorrow.
He's not cheating on you from his wife, or you're just going...
No, he's married.
It's a friendly thing.
Is it, they have a strictly platonic relationship. I don't know where their baby comes from. No, we don't. We have a highly sexually charged relationship.
That's where Stryker was going.
The relationship with his wife is purely platonic.
Mm-hmm. I must bring this up before we talk to a man who was gang raped by men at a party. But was that a good segue?
That's a segue. You should be in comedy.
My friends will kill me. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Cable Guy. And, of course, you're in it fairly brief.
I'm only in it for about a minute.
But that is my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, that's very kind
because
of you.
Excuse me, can I get some utensils? And you're like, in medieval times, there were no utensils. Mm-hmm. But they had Pepsi. Dude, I got a lot of tables. And that was the most subtle, funny scene.
Thank you, I'm a genius.
No, was that how it was written? Is that...
I honestly don't remember.
You don't remember? But I don't know if it's coming off sarcastic, but you don't understand. We repeat that line all the time, my friends.
Well,
what is the line again?
I got a lot of tables. Because she works at a medieval times. And Matthew Broderick's like, can I get some utensils? And Janine says, in medieval times, there were no utensils. And Matthew Broderick says, but they had Pepsi. She's like, dude, I got a lot of tables. Anyway.
Well, I appreciate your hero worship of me. I encourage that kind of thing. But we really got it. It's time to help the kids.
All right. Joe?
Yeah.
Joe? Yeah. What's up? You're 19.
What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I was at a party, and I was under the influence of some drugs I shouldn't have been taking.
What drugs?
And,
what drugs?
Acid.
All right.
Acid, and, I passed out or whatever. I didn't even know. We started off at one house and ended up in another house. I don't even remember going to the second house. But situation turned out, I ended up, being raped.
How gay are you?
That was...
Janine, please.
Please ignore that. That was completely inappropriate. Somebody just pressed a button they shouldn't have.
Oh, that's all right.
Are you gay?
Yeah.
Okay, and so this was sort of a forced... Whereas...
But the thing was, it wasn't like I was out there or anything, like anyone knew about it. Or anything. I mean, these people are also supposed to be straight, supposedly.
Right. Interesting.
And the problem is now, I've dealt with a lot of issues coming from it. But, when I try to be intimate, sometimes I can't, even though I know some of the things that, my muscles might tense them.
Well, wait. When be intimate, I would predict that you have had a long history of trouble with intimacy. You mean when you try to be physical?
Yeah.
And what act is it we're talking, you lose erection, or what's the problem?
When I... actually try to have sex.
Which is what? What does that mean?
Anal sex.
And that you lose your erection?
No, my muscles will tense and it'll start to hurt or...
When you're the receptive partner.
Yeah.
All right.
I know a lot of it is just the stuff that I'm dealing with, but and I can identify it and I, called and talked to people, thought about it myself, but how do you get over it?
Well, you were... gang raped, I guess, right, Joe? I don't know. I don't think you're going to get over it unless you probably go talk to someone about this and get your head straightened out, so to speak, a little bit.
How long ago did this happen?
About a year.
Do you still have panic attacks or nightmares or anything like that?
I actually have flashbacks and stuff.
Yeah, so you have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I would bet, again, asking our usual questions, but this is what usually precedes something like this.
Something happened to you when you were a kid.
There was some sexual abuse when you were a kid, right?
When I was a kid, there was a lot, but...
Right, and that's...
I even talked to my family about it, but they went around telling me when I was hallucinating and all this stuff and just manipulating to try to get attention, which, wasn't even the case, and they're all playing games, so I can't talk to them about it.
Do not talk to your family, but you're going to need to get some treatment. You're a trauma survivor. And victims become good victims in their adult life, too. And that's how this kind of thing happens. How the hell these guys know to go after you, I don't know.
Okay.
But they do. And you've been through this. And it very often when you have a previous... What happens to people when they're traumatized as a kid is that they start dissociating. They start to check out whenever they're in an intensely stressful interpersonal situation. And when you do that again, when you're being victimized, you sort of check out and become you're paralyzed, become the ultimate victim. Which I'm sure you went through all that, it resurfaces all the post-traumatic stress type symptoms, and you get these huge, unpleasant symptoms.
If I can identify all this stuff and I know it's happening, it's just going to happen.
No, you're right, because it's not intellectual process getting over this. Okay. You need to go into a therapeutic environment and connect with someone without utilizing these archetypal ways of dealing with these problems that you've been using for many, many years.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thank you.
All right.
Good luck, Joe.
Thanks.
All right, this show is really not about Janine Garofalo at all, but this guy for some reason wants to talk to you. Corey?
Yes.
You're 26. I'm just kidding, Janine, by the way.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead. It is for you, though.
Oh.
What's going on?
Well, first, let me just say something, Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
Dr. Drew, you're my hero.
Oh, Corey, thanks.
And Janine?
He's my hero, too. But...
Janine?
Yeah, listen,
he's the wind beneath my wings. That's odd that you bring that up.
Now I'm getting kind of scared about Stryker, though. He knows personal information. He knows who gets him.
Because he goes to the gym.
He claims he heard it running
really
on a treadmill.
I was really at the bakery, okay?
It's like a Reuters service.
I'm very scared.
Darn right it is.
I'm sorry. Please continue, Corey.
Oh, and Janine, you're the cutest, funniest person in the world.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
I did have one question. Sweethearts?
Yes.
Film. I saw it many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Being a manic depressive, I was wondering what drew you to that role.
I actually just, was approached with a script, and I thought it would be an interesting role to play, an interesting challenge. So I undertook it, although I don't know if I did it any justice. I don't know if I captured that type of mania correctly.
I think you did.
Oh, thank you.
Corey, I've got a good referral for you. There's an organization called the National Depressive and Manic Depressive Association that's a patient-run patient advocacy group. And check it on the web. It's the ndmda.org, and it's a really, really good support group for people with those conditions.
He seemed pretty uppity to me. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You mean upbeat?
Yeah, he seems so
uppity
happy.
Uppity is different. Uppity is okay, like
uppity,
a little
like
surly.
Okay.
No. Tightwad is frugal,
oh,
or miserly.
Okay, right?
Like, we're gonna talk about this later about
semantics. You went
semantics.
To Providence.
I went to Providence
Russ,
College, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to words.
Katie.
Hi.
What's going on? You're 14.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Janine. And hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I love you. I listen to you every night.
Oh, thanks.
And you do, Drew. I was dating this one guy. We did it like 4 times, but 2 times were more serious, like we were just like really into each other. And we just broke up recently, about a week ago. And before that, after we broke up the first time that we were actually serious,
mm-hmm.
I'm a virgin, by the way, so it's not like we had sex or anything, but we became friends with benefits, and that worked really well for about...
What is friends with benefits for you?
Just...
Hand jobs and stuff.
No, not even like that. Just
good.
Like someone there when I need that kind of attention.
What's that kind of attention?
Just if I need, someone just, I'm a real romantic. If I need someone there, kind of just to hold me or kiss me or, do stuff like that. Just,
All right.
Well, as you get older, the friends with benefits gets a little more fun.
Do they pick up your
say.
Dry cleaning? That type of benefit? Ride to the airport? Things of that nature?
Do they groom your dog?
It's gotten more serious, I guess.
You said you dated him 4 times. Now, does that mean 4 dates? Because you're only 14. Or does that mean there were 4 separate occasions where you dated for a month or two?
4 different occasions where we dated for a month or two.
Okay. And now you want him to be your friend with benefits. I don't know if that's that healthy for you right now. Why don't you find yourself, there's many more guys at your school, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm like a little bit, I'm a tad on the gothic side, so guys aren't that into me.
Marilyn Manson's available.
I'm not that gothic.
Oh, okay.
Just like, I'm not really gothic, just my, rocker chick, I guess. So.
You're interesting. That's how I used to say it. You're just interesting.
Yeah, something like that.
Do your parents teach at the colleges?
I'm sorry?
Your parents teach at the colleges?
No.
Okay.
Do they clean up at the colleges?
No.
Okay. The Claremont Colleges, Janine.
Oh, I didn't know what that meant.
Very, very bright kids.
I didn't even know this friends
schools.
With benefit. Is that what the young people are
into
now?
College age talking about. The people that are friends and have sex whenever they wish.
So that's
friends with benefits.
That's just for years. That's been kind of a standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Alanis Morissette, I think, had a song like that or something. Or maybe that was the name of a CD.
Friends with Benefits, that's right. Is this from the Alanis Morissette song?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no. Nothing like that.
But it sounds like 14 Friends with Benefits is more like somebody you just call to make
be
out.
Intimate with.
Yeah, make
But
out
in college,
with.
It's having sex after the bar closed.
Right. It's actually having sex after a few drinks.
Right.
That's in college. That's something
up.
You have to look forward to.
That's hooking up.
No, that's a friend with benefits.
No, friends with benefits. Hooking up is where you have, you're loaded and you have sex with someone that you don't expect anything from. Friends with benefits means you live down the hall,
Right.
You can't hook up with anybody.
Right.
And when the night's over, you run down the hall. And
that's what I'm referring to. But
so what
normally
does it mean for a 14-year-old, friends with benefits? Yeah. Just like hand-holding and hugging and evidently intimacy of that nature?
And watching SpongeBob.
And square pants.
No, like, I'm sorry, I got something caught in my throat.
Thanks for sharing.
I don't know. Just for me, it's kind of just like someone to be my boyfriend.
Wait, hold on one sec. Drew, by the way, last night I was dying laughing with the fire alarm going off over and over in the background.
Not fire alarm. We have calls. Chirp.
Hold on one sec. I'm sorry to stop the show.
We have calls on the show. Almost every night we'll be talking and all of a sudden you hear the chirping of a smoke alarm with the battery going dead. And we'll be like startled by like, oh my God, will you do something about this fire alarm? And the person who lives in the room
is oblivious to it, right?
Like, what are you talking about?
And how does this help Katie?
Doesn't help Katie.
No, see, this is what I'm not supposed to do on the show is go off on tangents. I'm supposed to keep it going. So
Drew, you're supposed to stay on point here.
Well, yeah. I have to rely on Stryker to make the call.
I was dying last night. It took 40 minutes to get through that call.
Well, Katie's holding, right, and so I still am not clear on this friends with benefits debacle.
Well, she wants a boyfriend. She's deluding herself that this guy's going to be a boyfriend, turn into a boyfriend, make her feel like it's a boyfriend when, in fact, it's empty. It's not real. It's going to ultimately sort of cause her to have feelings that for a guy that's not reciprocating. She needs to put aside her feelings of not being worth a relationship. She says she's so gothic and no one would like her. That's nonsense. Go out there, take a risk, have a real relationship.
And also, you're only 14, so it's really not...
Lots of time.
You've got plenty of time to be disappointed.
Definitely. Janine, you may want to help out with this guy. Ryan, you're 18?
Yeah.
What's going on?
All right. First of all, I just wanted to say... Janine Garofalo, I think you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
And Dr. Drew, I really respect you. And Stryker, I've been trying to get through to you for like the last 3 hours to get tickets. Anyway, that's besides the point.
Right.
I really don't masturbate that often, but...
Why?
Oh my God!
Well, there's your problem right here.
Yeah, I said, lucky Adam's not here. He'd be hanging up on you right now. How dare you? Oh my, his delicate sensibility.
You sound like a masturbator, though. So what's going on?
Well, because usually when I do, afterwards it swells up, and have you ever seen the movie Tremors?
No, but I know what it is.
It kind of looks like a tremor. It gets really puffy on the end, and like. It gets swollen and...
I think I know the
reason. Are you manhandling yourself? Are you, like, being really rough with your...
Right. No, not at all.
Using lotion?
Does it hurt?
Yeah. No,
are you wearing loofah mitts?
But maybe you're having a reaction to the lotion. Maybe you're getting an allergic reaction to whatever it is you're using.
You think?
Possibly.
Could you be allergic to your own hand?
No.
Or the lotion that you're using?
No.
What lotion are you using?
I don't know.
You need to switch to Neutrogena, non-comedogenic, non-irritating lotion for sensitive
skin.
Next caller.
We would not want your penis to get any comedos.
Why don't you buy some real lubricant, not lotion? Buy some Astroglide or the other stuff. Yeah, exactly. That is fantastic stuff, Ryan.
Yeah?
It feels like someone else is doing it when you first do it.
Or mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
If you're trying to cut calories and fats, you can use mayonnaise.
Where is David Algar's vomiting?
From Ear One.
So, Drew, do you know why his penis would be swelling up other than being allergic to some sort of lotion?
Again, as you were going down the other path, which is some sort of physical, mechanical irritation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're doing it too rough, Ryan. Try that. Try Astroglide. Go buy it at any store, and not any store, but a store near you.
We'll be right back.
Thank you. Okay, Ryan.
Well, I have one more question. Is that all right?
Hurry, though, because we got to take a break.
You know, every once in a while, I get sort of these whiteheads on my penis.
It's the Comedo.
That's from the irritation. That's why you need a non-comedogenic lotion.
Or it's a pearly penile papules. Pearly penile papules.
That's my favorite. I love that kind of alliteration.
None of which is anything you should be concerned with.
All right, you're going to be fine, Ryan. Janine Garofalo, she's sitting literally 3 feet from me. 3 feet? Mm-hmm. And it's not too bad. Drew is 2 feet from me, and he always steps on my toes. I'm Stryker for Adam. More Loveline coming up. We're going to speak to a big fan of Janine's about movies and projects and more stuff on Loveline. Loveline. What about this band, The White Stripes?
I love
Janine
The White
Garofalo.
Stripes, too.
Man, they are good.
Right.
Do you think they were married or are married or brother and sister?
They are. I heard they are divorced, but they claim to be brother and sister.
Right.
I saw on the internet.
They were married, and now they're in a band. And then for, like, a joke, they say that they're brother and sister.
Right. Meg and Jack White from the White
Stripes.
To
be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. They need a story. They need a. They need something going on.
And they are indeed interesting.
Right. So Janine Garofalo is here. Dr. Drew and I'm Stryker filling in for Adam Carolla. He's going to be back on Sunday. On Sunday. You're going to be at the Arlington Theater in Santa Barbara, 8 p.m., September 27th. Janine is.
Yes.
These are the dates I was referring to at 10:01 p.m. earlier. And Saturday, September 28th at Terrace Theater in the LBC at 8 p.m. as well.
That is correct.
How long are your shows?
Well, actually, usually the opening performer, who may be Zach Galifianakis.
I like that guy. He's funny.
He does, like, maybe between 20 and 40 minutes, and then I do anywhere between an hour and 2 hours.
Does he bring his piano out? Not to talk
they
about
usually
his
supply
act
what,
only, but, yeah.
They usually supply a piano.
Okay. And do you do something that has been, that you have written out, and that's your go-to act? Is there, do you improv with the crowd at all? I've never seen you live in person. I've seen you on the HBO stuff. And
I have an idea of what I want to get to in 2 hours, but nothing is written in stone. I'm not like a highly improvisational, i.e., like, what do you do for a living?
Right.
Who are you? Who's this guy? You know. It's not that. I do know what I want to get to in 2 hours, but I am very open to the idea of changing anything at a moment's notice or dealing with if something happens in the moment. But, you know, I have to change it up because doing 2 hours a night of the same thing is stultifyingly boring.
You would be calling in this
boring.
Show complaining.
Boring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We said it at the same time. Chris.
Yes.
What's up? You're 26.
I am doing fine. First of all, Dr. Drew, I want to say you are a god.
God bless you.
And second of all, I like how you put Adam in line when he gets out of line with, listen, listen. I love that. And Janine.
Listen,
you
know, listen, listen, listen.
I love it. And Janine.
Yes.
I love you.
Thank you.
You are the best comedian I've ever seen.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Have you seen other comedians?
He saw Carrot Top in 86.
I want to say that
Gallagher.
My favorite movie you are in is The Truth About Cats and Dogs.
Oh, thank you.
Where they are in that hallway and he's telling that girl off and you just come out and say, excuse me, you called for a bitch? And I just love that.
Oh, thank you.
But I wanted to ask, do you have any other movies coming out pretty soon?
I don't know when they're coming out. I have a movie called Manhood, a movie called The Search for John Gissing, and a movie called Solos. But I don't know when they're coming out.
Well, cool. I will be looking out for those. And just, again, I love you, and good luck on everything. And
thank you. You too.
Bye, Chris.
That was not my kiss sound. That was Stryker doing that.
That was nice. That make you feel good.
Yeah, that was very nice. But I hope he didn't interpret that as a kiss off sound.
No. He was being very nice to you.
Yeah, he was being very nice. It's nice to be.
You
nice.
Get very
Isn't
nervous
nice
about
nice?
About Anderson in there. And
I get very nervous
in.
About the inappropriate button pushing. I thought that was really out of line. The how gay are you in that
just,
in that
just
one thing.
Be thankful that you don't have the inappropriate host here tonight.
I know Adam.
So
yeah, I know.
He's just the inappropriate engineer to combat.
Mm-hmm. Sarah.
Hi,
you're 25.
Yeah. About 6 weeks ago, I was at a party.
Whatever.
And I got really drunk. I fell asleep on the couch. About half an hour later, a guy that I was kind of seeing came up to me. We had sex, and I was on my period, and I had a tampon in, and I didn't realize it until the next morning.
Good times.
Healthy.
No, it was totally gross, and I'm so embarrassed about it. But here's the deal. So the next morning, I got home, and I was like, oh, my God, and I got it out, and it was really gross. I had to, like, totally, like, try and, you know, like, get it out.
Cause tweezers
it
was really, or yeah, pliers?
Total
or...
SWAT team and
no,
some blasting caps to get that.
It was really gross. But anyway, here's the thing. So ever since then, though, like, I've just kind of felt like an uncomfortable feeling, you know?
No.
And then also, this is really gross, but there's been kind of, like, a weird odor.
All right, you know? Well, a couple things. Does it get into your pelvis, or is it just in the vagina?
It stayed in the vagina.
All right.
I pulled it out.
He must have the smallest wiener ever.
No, I don't mean did he actually push the tampon into your abdominal cavity. What I'm asking is...
It's right next to her spleen
no,
right now.
No, meaning is the pain in your pelvis.
No. It's not. It's like right inside my vagina.
Okay. Because obviously having a tampon in for an extended period of time can put you at risk for toxic shock and other kinds of infections ascending up into the genital tract, and that can be more serious than merely a vaginal infection. Having the environment napalm the way it was.
Sullied. The atmosphere was sullied.
You can get all kinds of vaginal overgrowths and infections and irritations. I mean, think about any, just think about your mouth if you had something in there, you know, for 12 hours.
Especially when there's blood sitting there.
It could cause irritation and erosions. And those would be, you know, canker sores, but quite literally. And they're saying
so don't put a tampon in your mouth. Whatever you do, that would
that's right. That would
bad
cause sores.
So I guess he didn't go down on you that night, Sarah.
Thanks for the heads up. Yeah, I know.
But so it could just.
Quiet, Drew. She's telling a story about the man not going down on her with the tampon in there.
No, that's you telling that story.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You need to have a pelvic exam. God knows there could even be little pieces of this left behind causing irritation.
I called my doctor, and I'm going in for my yearly pap in, like, 3 weeks, but I'm wondering, should I go in earlier?
You should go tomorrow.
I don't think you're going to deal with that, with the symptoms of it for 3 weeks, because it's probably going to become more exacerbated as
you, theoretically, I mean, it's possible, well, it's reasonable that he could treat you over the phone, which is get some antibacterial creams and that kind of thing going. And if you get better, fine. If you don't, get seen at that point. That's the other option.
Well, here's the only other thing I was thinking. Like, right now, I'm on my period again, and I'm wondering...
Don't drink!
Clean it out, kind of, maybe?
No, you need to...
See a doctor.
Quite the contrary, infection tends to go up when you're during your period.
Oh, great.
Sarah.
Okay, so I should just go in for, like... sooner.
From now on, no more alcohol and just use pads.
I want to know what you were drinking that night to pass out and have sex with the tampon in.
No, she didn't pass out.
Not
pass
out.
I remember thinking, oh, hurry. My God, I've got a tampon in, but,
but it felt so good.
I was neither here nor there at the time.
She was swept up in the passion.
All right, Sarah, I got to go because we got to take a break.
Okay, well, thanks, you guys.
Have
Thank
fun
you.
With the tampons.
Bye.
I think you're awesome. I love you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
I don't know if she meant that to me.
Yeah, she was saying, she said...
Maybe she was talking to you.
No one says that to me except my mom, and she's not even around. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to this girl who just became a prostitute recently, and we'll find out how and what and why after this. Fine. Horrible
bronchitis thing. Like,
well, I'll see you at the party. Don't get me sick.
He's sick as a dog, and yet he's so devoted to the kids that he would not stay home.
Stay home. Seriously.
I know.
All right, we're back. By the way,
he cares about his job.
He does. And
let's heal some babies.
I know. That's right. David Alan Greer. He's got another sitcom, I think, coming out. He does a lot of sitcoms that don't go that far.
Right. He's in the. Most sitcoms don't.
They're hard.
They're
right.
Geared towards failure. So it's not him.
I love that.
He's always probably
hilarious.
The best part. Although he's on with Bonnie Hunt in the new one, and she's fantastic. So I'm assuming
great.
This one's going to be good.
She was good in the Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire thing.
She's good in everything. She's a wonderful
comedian. Is she your
friend? No, I'm just a huge fan. She's a wonderful... She's from Second City in Chicago originally, and she's just fantastic.
Nice. That's Janine Garofalo, by the way, if you're just checking on to Loveline and seeing what's going down. And Erica, you're... hold on, Erica, we're going to come to you. I was promoing the prostitute lady. Michelle.
Hi.
Hey, you're 25.
Hey, Faker. Hi, Drew. Hi, Janine.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Could be better.
What's wrong?
I've been, like, prostituting for about a year, and it's kind of given me a negative feeling about guys in general. I've always had issues with my father, and...
Why?
He's pretty much been, like, an abandoning person. Mm-hmm. He's been around, I see him and everything, but he's always been very judgmental, and... lied about a lot of things, betrayed my trust, and...
Like what?
Wait, hold on, Drew. Michelle, I have to ask you, like, five simple basic questions before Drew gets all into your past and dad.
Okay.
How, like, are you a call girl? Are you with, like, an agency? You dance and then have sex with guys?
No,
or, like, how
no.
do they find you?
I call from my house, like, to, like, phone sex lines and try and find guys who want to meet and who are willing to pay for it, and they come to my house.
And they come to you. And how much does that cost a guy for sex or whatever?
I get like $150 for an hour to 2 hours.
And now how can you trust all these random dudes you're meeting on the phone?
I've met so many guys randomly and had no bad experiences. I know I'm taking
so
a big
far.
Risk and being really, really irresponsible, but I just do it. I don't think about it.
And you do the oral, the sex, the whole nine with
oral,
these guys?
Oral, intercourse. I don't do anal. Like every single guy wants anal and I don't do that.
What is that?
I don't know why. I think it's disgusting, but...
What? You have any... You've sort of seen the... dark side of the male.
It must be a trend.
So how much do you make in a day? How many guys do you see a day or a week?
Oh, not even a day. Like, I call every night, spend, like, hours on these lines trying to find guys. Maybe I meet one guy a week, maybe two.
Right. Is this strictly a mercenary thing for money, or is there... Why did you start doing this?
I was living in a bad situation, like, supported housing. I mean, I'm on disability for mental illness, and I I had a car accident, lost my car, couldn't afford to get another car, stopped working altogether, and just thought of it. So I tried it one night, and it worked, and, you know, I made money. And I just thought, well, I'll just keep doing it. And
what is the nature of your mental illness?
I have got so many problems. Depression, OCD.
Borderline?
Borderline, yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
So your question is how to get out of this or what to do? I mean,
my question is, I want to get involved with someone for, like, you know, stop doing this and get involved in a serious relationship that's meaningful. And I look at guys as all they want is sex, and because I'm so used to just guys wanting sex, and then I look at them as so, I don't know, horrible.
Yeah, you know, Michelle, you wanting to have a relationship right now is like wanting to drive an Indianapolis 500 or something. You know what I mean? You got to start much, much simpler. Much simpler. Eventually, you can have a relationship, but first, you have to have a much simpler life. You have to really start following your treatment plan again.
Well, the thing is, I'm in therapy, but I can't talk about it with my therapist because my therapist communicates with my caseworker, and I'll lose my housing if I tell them. Probably.
So are you doing this strictly for the money then?
No.
Well, I enjoy the sex. But some of the guys are really disgusting, but I don't, you know.
Wait, were you an addict also at one time?
No, I don't drink ever. I never did any drugs.
Okay. You know, it's to disentangle yourself from the road you've gone down, it's going to take some time. It's something you don't find a relationship and then it pulls you out of it. It doesn't work like that.
Right. No, I don't expect that, but I'm just saying, I fall for a guy. I always like guys who don't like me, always. I get obsessed with celebrities. I asked a bartender out, and he said no, and I was just devastated for, like, days over it.
Just like your dad.
Yeah, I guess.
But, again, you've got some pretty, really heavy stuff. Are you on medication right now?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Are you taking it properly?
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't help, though. I've tried everything for depression, and right now I'm taking anafrinil for OCD, and it's helping a little bit, and I take medication so I could sleep at night. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to sleep at all. I get so bored also. I don't want to work on, like, regular jobs.
Well, the bored thing is part of the borderline personality disorder, right? Borderlines feel bored when they're alone. They feel bored when they're not getting a lot of stimulation and drama in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's all that emptiness you feel.
I'm always bored, yeah.
But it's that emptiness. It's an way to avoid the feelings of emptiness. Mm-hmm. And the only way I know of to rebuild that is with really intensive psychotherapy and maybe some group work. And that once that is rebuilt, then magically relationships will start to come your way that are worthwhile. But in the meantime, you'll continue to attract victimizers.
Do you think that I should tell my therapist about it and take a risk by doing that?
I don't want to tell you what to do, but I think you need to get in sort of
group therapy.
Yeah, turn up the ask for more resources and more involvement and get more honest as it is appropriate for you.
As loony as all the things she says she is, I mean, she actually sounds
You know, that's always a very interesting thing about people like that is that they sound very appealing and they're very interesting and they're very smart. And boy, they just are so empty and they just are reacting to that and they can't manage their affect. They can't manage their feelings at all.
And they can't control the decisions that they're making?
It's all a desire to avoid the emptiness and a drive. It's a drive to avoid the emptiness and a drive to try to find primitive ways to regulate overwhelming feelings.
Wow. All right.
You okay, Jane?
That's why you've been here 15 years.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Erica.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 18.
Hi. I just wanted to call and tell Janine that I love her so much.
Thank you.
I think you are, I see you on Conan. I think you're
cool. You were at the gym with me.
I heard I was on Conan.
I don't even know what I'm going to say. But, like, I just love your interest in music. Like, I love your type of music. And I just heard you, like, say that you loved Weezer.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you so much now. I mean, I don't have a question. I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
If you love Weezer, I love you.
I love Weezer, and I love you, too. No, it's nice to hear a person without a problem calling. We're glad that you're happy.
You're lesbian. Yeah.
We're just pleased that you're happy.
True, please.
And, Stryker, I just wanted to know if you're going to have, K-Rock's going to have, the Inland Invasion online.
I don't think it's going to be online.
It's not?
No.
Oh, my... Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So if you had tickets, would you go?
Yes. Okay. Well, I was going to get tickets, but I ended up getting the Strokes tickets instead.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm totally broke, though.
Even though that's a different day, but you spent your money on that, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can't be yapping about this too much, but hold on one sec, okay?
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I love you.
Thanks. I love you, too.
Can you hold on for Erica for 1 minute? Maybe I can get something for her or something. All right, Jeanine, let's go to someone with a problem. You could probably really help them out in this. Julia, you're 15?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, hi.
What's going on?
I want to know, like, what the bad effects of swallowing are.
Swallowing
Kool-Aid? Semen? That's one of those inappropriate sound effects that they put in there.
The effects of swallowing semen, not that I've tried it except my own, but go ahead, Drew. There's no bad effect except the guys want you to. That's
you said
it.
Janine was going to answer this.
Okay, I don't know. I've heard that a semen tree grows in your stomach. That's what I've been told.
I hope your mom told you that.
Yes, my mother told me that.
I plan also to tell my daughter that it's at least 70,000 calories.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's the same amount of calories
and
as small
carbs.
Cheese pizza.
Right.
And terrible for the carbs if you're on low carb.
Wingold,
that's
right?
Bad. So if you're on Atkins, you can't swallow semen.
Right.
Because it's strictly forbidden on the Atkins diet. But actually,
it is one of the replacements on the Weight
Watchers. On the food mover, Richard Simmons' food mover, semen actually counts for 3 starches.
Right.
But
Julia, if you want to make a guy super happy, if you do that swallowing, he will be indebted to you.
All right, but here we go. Reality is, though, is that...
Thanks, Drew. Take me to reality,
Drew's
you
got
son
the
of
real.
A bitch.
Is that once the fluid gets down to the esophagus, that is where you can contract infectious diseases like HIV and hepatitis and other things. And so there actually is added risk to swallowing. There are no calories, and there is no accumulation. There's no other weird wives
tale. But it gives you halitosis.
Okay.
It does. It's the same type of halitosis as drinking milk. Halitosis for you kids out there is bad breath.
Mm.
Just so you know, that's halitosis. So if you're concerned with your breath and you don't have any Orbit gum around, don't swallow.
Okay.
So your big concern would be an STD. But Drew, correct me. I heard that for the girl getting HIV that way is extremely difficult unless they have a cut in their mouth or something.
But you can get in college. A lot of girls would get. It's different, like almost like strep throat type infection.
Were these the four girls you were hanging out with?
I would hear talk in the shower.
Anything you while you're walking on the treadmill, and anything, anything you can get on the genitals, you can get in the mouth. Okay. And what did you say? What if? The mouth.
Yeah.
The absorption of these viruses occur in the esophagus, not in the mouth. The mouth is the viruses are destroyed, but if it passes the mouth and gets into the esophagus, it's game on.
I actually have a question now, if you guys don't mind. Mm-hmm. Why is it appealing for a woman to swallow? I'm asking you males.
Why is it appealing?
Yeah.
Well, it feels extra good when they stay on your
why not just let it emit? Why does it have to be...
I think what you're saying is you still have like a nice blanket around the actual shaft.
But you can do that and still let things sort of
go out the sides.
Right, thank you.
Right, which is no, but that becomes
but you know
the spice
what I think?
Channel
what,
there.
What is a drag probably for guys is the act of spitting into the sink or like. Like that, like if you let it go in and then you spit it out, there seems to be a sort of aggressive rejection about
that's true, but I think guys actually like the psychological...
You're like the king for
control.
8 seconds.
Being drunk in kind of thing.
Right, and also being dominant in that situation.
I don't mind if they keep it on there and go like to the restroom. That doesn't bother me at all.
Right.
Okay.
How do you know?
I don't know anything. I don't know anything about this, what these kids are into. I don't know anything about fellatio.
No, of course not. How do you spell it? Cat?
Yeah?
You're 30.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
No, I wanted to call for Janine and tell her that I have a lot of respect and love for her.
Thank you.
She represents the intelligent, atypical woman. The person that...
No, don't say that. No. Intelligent is not atypical for women.
I didn't mean that.
I know. I'm just correcting for the other listeners that didn't know that you misspoke accidentally.
Oh, yes. And you spoke correctly for me, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You're shorter, and you're not the typical Hollywood stereotype for
Bring
women.
On the euphemisms.
And I just wondered, I do. I really love you. I read
your
book. You're a very intelligent woman.
I've seen
your comedy shows. You're the best. If people haven't seen that, what's that movie called? Like Wild Wet Summer or something like that?
Wet Hot American Summer.
Wet Hot American Summer, everybody. It's hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
And I wanted to ask you if it was difficult for you to break into Hollywood because you don't fit into their stereotype of the 5'11", 120-pound woman.
Actually, it's not height that is appealing or unappealing to anyone. There is a standard of beauty that... It doesn't have anything to do with height. There's a standard of beauty that's established not just in Hollywood but in our culture of being lean and looking a certain way. So obviously in entertainment, those rules are in place and they're, but they're not hard and fast. You know what I mean? Like there's a place for everyone.
Right.
It's just that I am not allowed to play certain parts.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because of the powers that be, don't allow it in mainstream entertainment. But, you know, I broke in, as they say, as a stand-up comic. And being a stand-up comic, you don't really have to look a certain way to do that. And I'm also a character actor. Yeah, you know, I'm not a leading lady or an ingenue or anything like that. So I have more leeway to do that. But, you know, the sexism and the lookism in Hollywood is so absurd that I would never advise anyone or encourage anyone to get involved in this in mainstream entertainment. It's really not worth it. You know, the product that's put out is not worth it for all the aggravation that women have to go through.
Do you think leading ladies has to do with beauty or...
beauty and box office, but you know,
okay,
the women are expected to look a certain way. You know, men, you can have Danny DeVito, Tom Hanks, John Goodman, Christopher Walken. There's a variety. Male leads can be anything they want.
Right.
Female leads are kept to a very strict. You know what I mean? Like Charlize Theron, Angelina Jolie, Nicole Kidman,
Cameron Diaz.
There's a very strict rules in place because the patriarchy treats women like second-class citizens. It's a way to keep women down, is to judge them by their looks and make them feel inadequate if they are not considered traditionally sexually attractive. But it isn't going to stop until women stop it. We are complicit in our own objectification. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody poses on the cover of Maxim magazine, we do it to ourselves. Until women say no...
Why don't women stop reading Cosmo?
Yeah, until we as women stop buying fashion magazines and stop posing on these lad mags like Maxim and Gear
stuff.
And that nonsense stuff. That's all the objectification of women and treating them like second-class citizens. But women are complicit in their own objectification. So women have to stop this.
It seems like the men, whether it's a John Goodman or...
Danny DeVito
or the Arnold Schwarzenegger. It seems like the guys that can steal scenes become leading men, meaning great actors that, like, you know, shine on the screen become a leading man. But see, like, when I saw you in Clay Pigeons, man, I really love that movie. Like, you stole every scene in that movie,
I thought.
I mean, you weren't in every single scene by any means, but every time you're in that with, like, amazing actors, you were the star of every scene.
Oh, thanks.
But... I guess I don't, because I'm not a woman, I don't see it like that. Like, I could see you as a leading lady because you're like the star of the scenes that you appear in.
Oh, that's right. I think you're the only one who thinks that, but that's very kind of you. But no, there's this mythology that the audience won't accept women of a certain age or women of a certain weight. You know what I mean? There's just no way that I would be cast playing Tom Cruise's love interest. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't ever happen. But, you know, you do have Charlize Theron opposite Woody Allen as a love interest, and we buy this. You know, we go, yes, that's acceptable.
Who would date Woody Allen?
But it's
his daughter.
It's the patriarchy. You know, our culture is our culture. Women, but see, like I said, women do it every time. There's a half shirt and low rise pants and a thong strap above it. We are complicit in our own objectification. So.
Got it.
So there you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Janine Garofalo, everybody. It's all about the kids.
But now let's help the kids. Let's get back to talking to the kids.
All right.
Let's save the baby.
That's right, David Alan Greer, who I've never met. I love that dude. Elaine, I'm from Detroit. Go ahead, Elaine.
Yes, I was wondering what the best place on a woman's body would be to get a tattoo. I was considering the hip, but then I thought, well, if I ever gained or lost weight or... decided to get pregnant in my later...
Strikers actually bought this place up a couple of times.
I know the female tattoo, Elaine. And if you're trying to appeal to a man and it's not super important to you, I like the small of a woman's back.
Really?
I think that is smoking hot.
I think if you must have it, keep it on your ankle or something. Just something.
Well, if you must have it...
Oh, there we go.
There's Garofalo, everybody. She's got the tats.
I have them all over my body.
Now, do you have any on the? Do you have one on the small of your back?
I don't. I have like up my arms here, on my stomach, and on my legs. But if I had to do over again, I would only do the small of my back because I like what you're talking about too, and one arm, upper arm.
Okay.
So I would just have two.
When's the last time you got a tattoo, Janine? And when did you first get one?
I got my first one when I was about 19, and the last time I got one was 2 years ago in London.
Yeah, they can be taken off now, no problem.
Yeah, but I don't want them taken.
Oh, well, I see.
But she was just saying if she did.
I'm saying if I had it to do over again.
I like the look of the on the back, and then if they have it on an arm, like a little bit towards the shoulder,
right.
But on the arm part,
also
not
like
on the back.
On the back of the neck,
that's
under your
cool
hair.
Also, yeah,
is good.
Elaine,
yes.
Did that help at all?
It just kind of made me more confused. I was kind of trying to stray away from the cliche of the small of the back.
How about the back of your knees?
Back of my knees.
Ouch.
Yeah.
What about on your clitoris?
That would not be enough.
What would you put there?
Billy
bullseye.
Bob.
No,
Billy
a bullseye.
Bob.
Kiss
Angelina
the bullseye.
Jolie got Billy Bob on her labia.
Yeah,
really?
What?
Minora. Her
what?
Labia.
You mean the word?
The word Billy Bob is.
I thought you meant a picture of Billy Bob.
No. Not an actual artist rendering of him. No, his name.
Oh, my God. That is so.
That's devotion.
Elaine, if you do get it, will you call back and let Drew know? Then he'll tell me when I go to his
party. How about your wrist?
My wrist? I was kind of going for the covered up portion, like only certain people would be privileged.
Yeah,
to it.
That's all like the ankle.
How about on your right boob?
My right boob. Yeah, that would be
no, cool. You'll regret that, I bet.
Who cares?
Regret
that. All right, Elaine, good luck with that.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to let you go right there. Okay, let's get, man. What?
We go to break.
Oh, we got to go to break. Anderson is screaming
again?
At me. Yeah, we got to go to a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to a person that's been doing meth for a long time while pregnant. More nice. Of Janine Garofalo and more of Loveline coming up. All right. What's up, you guys? We are back with Loveline. And I'm Stryker for Adam Carolla. He's coming back on Sunday. He is literally a millionaire, so he's off doing something else now. Probably
he's
pretty
at
excited.
His bachelor party.
His own bachelor party?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding.
I thought he was already married.
Nope.
Oh.
It's coming up.
Is that in Vegas? Is he doing
no,
it in Vegas?
No, in Tahoe.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to eat S for not being there.
Isn't that show just like a bachelor party? So he has a bachelor party all the time.
So he takes that group of guys
and the trampolines.
Do the same thing without cameras running.
Did he bring the girls on the trampolines?
I don't know.
Oh, man. All right. Janine Garofalo is here. I want to give these dates again because you've been doing the stand-up. September 27th, Arlington Theater in Santa Barbara at 8 p.m. Do you know if those tickets went on sale yet?
I don't know.
She just shows up.
I don't know. I just.
September 20, and then September 28th at Terrace Theater in Long Beach.
The Terrace, isn't it? Or is it Terrace?
I said Terrace earlier, and now I read it. It says Terrace.
I think it's the Terrace Theater.
I think it's the Terrace, too. Who typed that up?
Terrace is that big theater in Long Beach, the huge one.
Really?
Where the opera's hair and stuff, yeah.
I haven't seen an opera before. I haven't seen an opera before. So go see Janine while she's on
Stryker
her stand-up
not
tour.
Eating peanut butter.
That's right.
What?
That's,
are you allergic?
No, I've never tried it.
He's never eaten anything that comes out of the ground.
For the most part, yes. Including watermelon.
How can you not have peanut butter?
I just don't like how it looks, smells, the texture.
That's what people love is the texture.
People love
the texture of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they do, but I stay away.
You pansy!
Shut up.
Are you quite insane?
Are you insane, man? All right, let's go to Cassandra.
Yeah.
Hey, you're 24.
Hi. I am in recovery, and I have like 17 months clean. I was at 5 months pregnant. I stopped using, and that's when I started going to meetings. My question is about my daughter. She's almost 14 months old, and I was just talking to my father-in-law tonight, and we were talking about ADD and what the signs are and stuff like that. And when I was pregnant, I read that methamphetamine use might cause stuff like that. So anyway, I'm wondering if she can show signs of ADD at this young.
Well, it's not really ADD, but there's no doubt that kids who are exposed in the uterus to stimulants have neuropsychiatric problems well into the early years of grade school. Interestingly, the data is not clear about whether or not they catch up with their peers or whether they continue to have problems the rest of their life. But at this stage, yes, things like an exaggerated startle and have difficulty soothing and hyperactivity, all that stuff is all part of having been exposed to the stimulants. Also, being the daughter of an alcoholic addict, the ADD and alcoholism sort of go together.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
really?
you have ADD, Cassandra, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know what
you have those features.
Bipolar and
I know.
Everything.
Well, you may have that too. But all the ADD type qualities is really characteristic of addicts. They pretty much all have that. So just her having inherited that genetic mechanism could make her look kind of ADD, but not so young. So I would expect the young stuff, the way you're seeing now, to be more a product of the stimulants.
Well, she seems like she has a temper.
I understand. You've got to talk to the pediatrician about this. There may be things that can be done.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck, Cassandra. And by the way, good job on being sober for 17 months.
Yeah. Oh, I've worked very hard. Thank you.
Well, keep it up.
Good for you.
For your daughter's sake, too.
You got a sponsor?
Well, yeah, but she's got 6 years clean, and she's kind of involved with herself and in the drama and everything.
Well, maybe get another sponsor. But what step are you working on now?
Three.
All right, you got to get that 4-step done. Until that one's done, you're sort of.
What is step three?
Three is.
Well, I don't have. She told me last time I met with her. She told me to choose a god, and it doesn't matter what it is right now. I just need to choose one, and I can change it later.
You just need to turn it over to faith, something, and then the 4-step is really your inventory, and that's a very, very critical piece of your recovery. You got to get to that. A lot of stuff I know you don't want to look at, but you're as sick as your secrets, as they say.
Oh, my God. Drew, by the way, did you hear that these kids overdosed on Ritalin in L.A. somewhere?
Pretty common.
No, a student brought 250 Ritalins to school and passed them out to the students, and they were popping them like lifesavers. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
What is Ritalin? Is it kind of like a speed or something like that? So, obviously, if you take a lot, you really get going, and they obviously took too many of them.
C's.
Well, let me ask you this. If we were talking about ephedrine, how is that different than does Ritalin have that?
Amphetamine is made from ephedra, basically.
Okay. So those people that are taking Ritalin going to have the problems we were talking about with these energy pills?
No, it's actually different. No, because the ephedra causes, it affects the cardiovascular system much more profoundly than methylphenidate, Ritalin, which is a neuroreactive drug only.
Got it. Karen.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 22 on Loveline with Janine Garofalo.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say something to Drew. I saw Late Night with Craig Kilborn last night.
Right.
And I just thought it was a really good show. I really liked what you had to say, and that I identify with your perspective on the whole 9/11 thing.
Well, thanks. I won Yabo. You ever played Yabo?
Oh, my. I know. I've seen Ashton Kutcher play.
I beat Ben Stein.
That was awesome.
That was fun.
You beat Ben Stein.
But did you get any money?
I got great thing
you
of roses.
You won Ben Stein's
roses.
Money.
Roses. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Karen.
So I have a question for Janine Garofalo. First of all, I wanted you to know that I feel you're just such a huge inspiration for so many girls.
Oh, thank you.
Just for being out there and being not a blonde, being, you know, just to see that, no matter what kind of role you're playing, just to see someone different, I think, is really inspirational.
Oh, thank you.
And I think that, like, Thora Birch in Ghost World, I don't think she could have done a role like that if there wasn't someone like you ahead of her.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure, but Thora Birch is so wonderful. And Ghost World, I love. She's so great in that.
Yeah. And just to be able to put yourself out there and not look perfect.
Mm-hmm. Although I would say she looks perfect. I would have to say that Thora Birch looks perfect.
Oh, I know. But, like, she gained weight for the role is what I heard. And I think that's so cool to be able to do that in this Hollywood crappy society.
It's a punk rock act. It's an act of subversion in this culture to actually gain weight. I mean, in a very brave way, in a good way.
Mm-hmm. So I was also wondering, I think that you could totally be a leading lady, especially in indie movies.
I agree.
When they're a little more accepting of differences. Uh-huh. And Hollywood, I think, is just crap anyway right now.
Right.
But I was wondering, I kind of feel like sometimes you typecast yourself.
Uh-huh. You know, I was just going to say this. There's something almost ironic about this discussion because Jenny is attractive.
Very.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, but
oh, you old so and so.
But
flatterers.
But that then screws up this whole thing about you being not attractive.
No, I actually. I'll tell you something. The camera hates me.
No.
Can I say? No, I'm not being self-deprecating. I'm telling you, it does not translate through the camera. I'm not saying I look great right now. I'm just saying it does not translate. And also, if we're talking about the mainstream entertainment business, I am considered unattractive. I'm not saying I have a problem with it personally.
I understand the point you're making, but you understand what I'm saying?
There's
an irony here that you could sort of start to move in a direction.
But you've cornered the market for the.
I get a lot of street cred out of this. But also, here's the thing. I don't think there's any nobility in pursuing good looks. It's not interesting to me. It's not important to me. I don't have those kind of needs. I don't need to have people be attracted to me. I need applause.
Yeah.
But I don't need to, like, when I go on Conan or Letterman, to wear a very short skirt or to
you wear,
you know,
wristbands.
I mean,
when I see you.
I wear wristbands.
But there's a difference between sort of fetishizing yourself and becoming sort of a sex symbol or object, whatever, and being appealing and attractive, which is a different thing. In our side, really, what, you know, our biology clues us into symmetry. That's really what our brain has us looking at in terms of what is attractive, what isn't.
Right.
And the camera does the same thing. And so you have that. So in a way, it kind of screws up the theory that you're representing unattractive people.
But see, but don't you understand, like, that I am, by the fact that even by the people who have called in that have talked to me, what they're saying is, in a euphemistic way, is, I really appreciate that you're out there. You look like, you know, you're short, or you look like a real woman.
What they mean is
you don't look like what other people look like on TV or in movies, for the most part.
Right.
So that's what they're saying. So it's actually sort of jarring
to see somebody that doesn't look perfect, which is different than appealing and attractive, though. Because we've learned to equate that in this society.
We've learned to equate looking a certain way with being attractive. Mm. But what I'm saying is, it's not a noble pursuit to me to try and fit into what people think is attractive. So I don't go to the gym. I do eat bread, rice, potatoes, and pasta, which is a very rare thing. I don't need to be considered attractive to other people to feel validated. I need them to like me. You know, I'd like to be well-liked, and I'd like for people to think I was an interesting person or a nice person, but I don't think it's a compliment when anyone says, you're pretty. Like, but people say that to me, like,
But I know why they say that to you, Janine. You know? Being an outsider looking in, even though you have more experience hearing those lines to yourself, but it's because in interviews, it's kind of the way you portray yourself as.
But
like
I don't.
She gets put there, and then I get put in that, and I'm
almost forced to discuss it.
Yeah, I see.
I don't bring it up. Other people bring it up all the time. But I genuinely don't think it's a compliment if somebody says, "Hey, you're pretty," or "You're thin." Not that they're saying, it's not important to me to be either one of those things.
Right. Well, you're not good looking. You're short.
Thank you.
You're
fat. I'm short. I'm fat, and I'm not good looking, and that's a great way to be.
And if you had any sort of comedy act, you wouldn't be in Santa Barbara next Thursday.
And I'm going to bring all those wonderful attributes to Santa Barbara and Long Beach.
Exactly. All right. Let's go to
next caller.
Thank you, Chris. You're 20.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Drew. What's going on?
What's going on, Chris?
I'm a paramedic, and recently I responded recently to a call that's really shaken me up. It was for a 14-year-old suicide victim. Kid took a 12-gauge underneath the chin. And then about a week after that, I had a 3-year-old drowning victim who didn't make it. I'm having a really hard time dealing with some of this stuff as far as, you know, thinking about it. I mean, I'm having some disturbing dreams and stuff like that. How do you deal with this kind of stuff?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I can't deal with pediatrics and kids. I can't deal with it myself.
We had a call like this recently, and you suggested that this person needed to get their own kind of therapy to continue their own job, to do a good job with it.
Oh, that was different, though. That was somebody who was reacting emotionally to another person's sort of behaviors and things. And that was, it was a little bit different. This is really a post-traumatic stress reaction. These are these incredibly horrible, traumatizing scenes you have to deal with and walk into.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I had to go into this room where this kid, you know, was in pieces, and I had to run a heart strip on him. And, I mean, that's what really is getting me. And then the pediatric victim, I mean, I worked on her for, you know, close to 40 minutes away to the hospital. I mean, she just, everything I did, she got worse.
I know. Well, the doing the best you can is one thing. I mean, that's what I always told myself when I was in training, was that you're the best person, the best trained at that moment in that space, and you just do the best job you possibly can. And if you can help, you will. But it's not your fault. You can't be controlled. There's certain limitations to what you can do, and you have to be able to deal with those limitations. That's different than walking into the horrible, horrible, you know, highly violent kinds of scenes that you're talking about. And I would think that it's a fire department you work for, right?
It's a private ambulance company.
I would think they would have sort of referrals for post-traumatic stress type symptoms for helping you with counseling and dealing with these sorts of things. They don't have anything like that?
It's a smaller company I work for. I work for a rural EMS agency, and it's like I talk to, you know, some of my partners about it, and they're like, oh yeah, that's kind of hard to deal with. But I mean, nobody said anything to me about, you know, hey, you need to contact this person.
I think you got
to
ask them. Most helping professions have their own sources of support and help that they make available to them. So I really think you ought to just look how people responded to 9/11, all the mental health services that had to go out to help both the rescue workers and the families. And there's stuff that needs, you're not inhuman, you're not a robot. And you go into these situations time and again. Yes, you do the best job you can, but they many times get under your skin and they affect you.
Absolutely
get some treatment for this. And if you can't handle it, maybe this isn't the right job for you.
Well, this is, I mean, I've dealt with similar stuff before, but nothing, you know, quite on this level. I mean, the suicide, I've dealt with, you know, gunshot wounds before. I've dealt with people, you know, dead bodies. I've dealt with pediatric calls before, but for some reason, just these two calls together in this time period have really, really affected me.
Do you have a child now yourself?
I do. I have a 2.5-year-old.
I bet you having your own children becomes remarkably evocative, okay, both in terms of bringing up unfinished business of your own development and in terms of fearing the worst, looking at what life can bring you and catastrophizing around that. So that it is the fact that you have a child, I bet, that's really bringing this all to the front.
Well, yeah, the drowning victim.
Yeah.
I saw my son there the entire time I was working on the
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. It's just and when you have kids, it really changes a lot of what goes on in your own head.
Yeah,
Chris,
true.
Get some help with this, all right?
All right.
Because one thing you don't want to do is start acting this out on your kid and start overprotecting them and start, you know, being not as good of a father as you might be.
All right. Gene and Nate, you and I did really well on that call.
I think so, too. I think we really helped him out.
I think we're the doctors here. Mark.
Oh, Anderson's doing a handspring.
Oh, what? What's going on? I have all the break time. Yeah, I have all the break. I read them all down wrong on this thing. Okay, we do have to take another quick break, actually. When we get back, we're going to talk to Janine Garofalo some more. And if you want to call her and tell her that she's a no good.
A no good, built low to the ground, girth person.
Girth? You just said girth? You know what girth normally goes is associated with the penis.
Oh, I thought it was just any
anything
width,
big around.
Anything big around, yeah.
Well, I've never used it for anything else. So we'll be, huh, Drew?
No one's ever used it in reference to your penis, what you're saying. Go ahead, let's go.
Drew, I'll show up at the party.
I know you'll be there.
Larry and,
look, with all my other boyfriends, I've only given them hand jobs.
More Love Line, hold on. Back here on Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191. God, it's gone fast tonight. Janine Garofalo, thanks for being here.
Time flies when the three of us are together, isn't it? Isn't it? I think we make a great trio.
Couple.
Let's go pitch a show to Fox.
That'd be
a
great idea.
Two guys and a girl.
Two guys, a girl, and a whole slew of troubled kids.
Two guys, a girl, and anal sex.
Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, my God. Now, this guy's going to ask a question that I would actually ask myself, but I'll let John do it. 19, John?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Janine Garofalo.
Yes.
I mean this in the healthiest, most honest way. Please don't take offense to it.
Okay, Spicoli, we won't.
Oh, no. Just asking me not to take offense to it. I have a feeling something terrible is about to come out of your mouth.
All right. Listen, you have the most beautiful eyes in the world. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, you are the most beautiful person in the world. All my friends think I'm pretty weird about this. But, you know, they're all looking at their Britney Spears and all this crap. You are gorgeous. Okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, and seriously.
There's always a qualifier, though. All my friends think I'm pretty weird about this.
I love those backhanded
comments. There's always a qualifier.
My friends think I'm nuts.
Adam, I love you. Drew, you're okay, by the way. You're pretty smart.
Hey, Janine, I was just curious, though.
Yeah.
Do you by any chance need like a cabana boy to clean your pool or anything?
I already have one thing. No, actually, I don't have a pool. I live in New York.
You have a pond.
In an apartment. I live in New York in an apartment, and we don't have a pool.
Oh, that's a bit far.
But we do have cabana boys.
When are you gonna buy?
Enough.
When are you gonna buy a house out in California?
Oh, I don't want to live in California. I like living in New York.
Oh, man. Okay.
Good question, though, John.
Hey, one more question, Janine.
Yes.
Don't take offense to this.
Hey, oh no.
This one's a little bit more offensive, I guess. Than
I don't know if I want to hear it. No,
John really sounds like he's off.
I think
he's from Central Casting, Green Acres.
I'm sorry we had to cut you off, but I think Stryker was afraid my feelings were about to be hurt.
Or he was going to say something really bad. I was actually a cabana boy at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills.
Was it exciting? Oh.
It was. It was fun. People were okay to me, but what? What are you laughing at?
What? I did it. And these women were
those guys in the booth don't want to hear about this cabana story. They're
it was good. Okay, the quick story is there was a prostitute at the pool this one time, and she had a thong on, and you weren't allowed to wear thongs at that nice of a hotel's pool, of course, up on the fourth floor and the little weight room there and everything. And I'm like the godfather of the pool. I would stand there, and I would pass people their phone when they needed it. If they needed a newspaper, I'd hook them up. This girl summons me over with the thong. I walk over, and she's like, can you put lotion on me? And then, of course, you're not supposed to fraternize with the guests, but I was number one fraternizer. But this, I was extremely nervous all of a sudden. I'm like, all right, where do you want? She's like, on her butt.
On her behind.
I did the fastest, like, wax on, wax off thing, ran back to my post. Then, like, an hour later, my job was to pass out orange slices with the tongs. So I'm passing out orange slices. Everyone's like, thank you. You know, you're very kind. Summons me over. She's like, will you feed it to me?
And
I panicked so bad, I fed her with the tongs and hit her in the gum with the tongs.
She sounds like a needy, needy individual.
Or she was just toying with my emotions. So her gum was bleeding from me hitting her in the gum with the tongs.
Good.
And
maybe she has gingivitis or pyorrhea.
Excuse me?
Gum disease.
Okay. Shannon?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, I actually talked to you last week.
Me?
I don't.
All right, keep going.
Drew and you.
Fill us in.
Yeah, and I was the one who was dating the guy whose dad ended up molesting me when I was little. Remember?
Yes.
Okay, so I broke up with him, and he didn't really, he wasn't bummed about it, whatever. But his dad, like, came by my house, and he's like, I guess he's on his fourth step because he hasn't been clean that long, you know, make amends unless it's going to hurt you or others. And, you know, he's like, oh, you should go back together with my son. You know, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do what I did to you when, like, you were little. And so I told the cops about it because I don't want him around here. And the cops aren't going to do anything because he's sort of an upstanding citizen around here. And so they just said that they're going to look the other way.
Is there the statute of limitations?
What exactly did they say?
They said, this is what they told me. They asked me what his name was, and then...
They came out and filed a report?
Yeah, because they came to the house.
They filed a report.
He was outside, and I wasn't going to open the door.
I understand. You mean he...
Can I just give the 10-second history of what happened with her?
Yeah.
She was, molested when you were young by a man. You ended up dating a guy right now, and his dad is the guy that molested you. Right?
Yeah.
And we said you should break up with this guy so you don't have to deal with the MF-er that was molesting you.
Yeah.
And so you broke up with the kid, and then you were going to go to the cops and report what happened to you, and now take it from there.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. This was the actual molestation was reported when I was 6 years old. Once my mom found out, she reported it, and it's on file in Arizona where it originally happened. Mm-hmm. And he's not allowed to work with children, the whole thing. And so he came and he... knocked on my door, and I wouldn't let him in, and he was, you know, trying to explain to me how sorry he was outside, so I just went in and called the police. So by the time they got there, he was gone, and they said, oh, what's his name? And I said his name, and they just basically said, well, we'd like you to come down the station to file the report. So I came down, and I talked to the actual chief, and he goes, well, what I can tell you, miss, is just that we would prefer not to deal with this situation because he is a high businessman. That's what they told me. And then they just escorted me out. And I don't know.
That doesn't fit. That doesn't make
sense. But the only thing he did was stand outside your door.
No, but it doesn't make sense. So when you asked the report to be filed, what did they say?
That's what they said.
They won't file a report?
No, they won't do it. I live in kind of a small town, and they won't do it.
That sounds ridiculous. That sounds ridiculous. Just because somebody's a prominent businessman, I find that hard to believe, unless they're telling you that him standing outside your door is not really an offense that they want to pursue.
Right, until he's committed a crime.
Right.
Yeah, because they've looked it up outside. They've looked up the Arizona file, because I asked them to, and then they just said... that because he was standing outside and I didn't let him in, that it's not an issue. But I've been getting phone calls too, and then hang
up. All right, so get a restraining order.
Right.
Okay, and so
no laws have broken. They didn't say we're not going to do this because he is. They said we're not going to do this because there's nothing for us to do
yet.
So Shannon, stay connected to reality here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Please. The story as you conceive of it is didn't happen. It's because he's committed no crime. And I understand you don't want him around. You shouldn't be around. You should get a restraining order. It might make you feel more secure. And if he violates that, then they will have something that they can take him in for. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. That's what you need to do.
All right. Good. Is this one on three real? Corey?
Yeah.
Hurry up. 19. Then we got to go to a break.
All right. I've listened to this show since, like, seventh grade, right? And you got Drew is funny. Adam's really funny, too. And Strike, you're funny.
Thanks.
Yeah, and but I really think the sounds are the best.
Whatever.
The what is the best?
The sounds, the buttons from the back.
Yeah.
The drop. So you want what is top five of all or top three of
he
all
was,
time?
He was playing a montage before the show started that was kind of interesting.
That's yeah, what's... yeah. I heard those long ones like the Dr. Drew Boogie. I like that.
How in a help show are the sounds the best part of the show?
Well, I've been listening so long, so I like know like how everything's gonna end. Like I know what these guys are gonna say and everything.
Corey, my favorite one is Drew saying you're gay and you're
fat.
Yeah,
I like that one too.
Yeah, those are fun.
All right, so we're gonna.
You don't sound, that doesn't sound very intellectual.
We'll have Anderson drop a few.
Anderson, you want to give us the top three at the end of the show, or do you want to do them now?
Don't court anti-intellectualism.
You have a small penis, you fag.
Don't encourage that level of thinking.
I've been giving you applause all night, honey.
All right.
I know the applause is fine, but
he's been giving you applause.
I like the one where like the guy says he's gay.
How about the joke from Insane Clown Posse?
Can we hear that real quick?
Wait. The only weight I lift is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up.
Drew, you have really
that was pretty good. My fat ass.
You're all right. Is
I gotta
it break
say,
time?
Dr. Drew, you have really changed for the worse. I have to say, in the last decade,
you're lesbian.
That you actually,
true.
You.
No, we're just letting him enjoy himself for the last 30 seconds. We gotta go to break.
All right, Drew. What did you say about her weight? Also, about Janine's weight.
Yeah. You're fat.
It's Drew, please.
This is like devolving into like morning DJ.
All right, this is
nonsense.
Horrible. Honky, honky, honky. It's terrible. We'll be back after this. Love Line. We're back. Love Line. Almost wrapping it up. We got to do it fairly quick here because it's almost it's 12 o'clock already and on the West Coast. September 27th, Arlington Theater in Santa Barbara. Janine Garofalo is going to be there. You're here at Love Line right now. And then September 28th, Terrace Theater in the LBC at 8 p.m. as well.
Thank you for those plugs, Stryker.
Anytime. Thank you for letting me be on Love Line when Adam is not here and being so cool, making this so easy. Seriously, I'm talking
Janine,
to
Janine. Yeah.
Oh,
at
me?
You.
Oh, I wasn't up
else?
To be. I'm thrilled that you were here. I didn't have anything to do with you being here. I'm thrilled that you're here.
No, but thanks for making it easy. I mean, like sometimes I think, like you know, if Adam's not here, like we're getting the third string in here. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, you made it simple. You're funny. You did your thing, and
Anderson just screwed the whole thing up. But.
No, Anderson, it was.
And then, except for the drops and where it devolved into morning DJ territory, I think we had a nice show. Mm-hmm.
But
at the end,
only the last call of the night because we didn't want to end and go to the weekend on a molestation
Mike,
call.
There you go. That's the kind of
we
thing
didn't want to end
on
a molestation call, so they were all screaming, go to line three about the drop. So we went to there, but I think that was a good show tonight. Drew, thank you very much for letting me sit in again.
Welcome
I appreciate it. Adam's going to be back on Sunday. And so for Janine Garofalo.
Thank you.
Did I just say your name?
You said it correctly.
I did say it. Okay. And for Drew, I'm Stryker for Loveline saying adios.
Whatever.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.